Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on that small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will complete Dissatisfaction with Life, Suicide, covering questions 953 to 957.
Enjoy.
Question 953. When individuals see an inevitable and terrible death in front of them, is it wrong to shorten their suffering by a few moments through intentional death?
It is always wrong not to wait for the term set by God. Besides, how can they tell with certainty whether their time has indeed come, despite appearances, or whether they might receive some unexpected help at the last moment?
Subquestion 953A. We admit that suicide is reprehensible under ordinary circumstances, but we are supposing a case in which death is inevitable and in which life is only shortened by a few instants.
Nevertheless, it displays a lack of resignation and of submission to the will of the Creator.
Subquestion 953B. What, in this case, are the consequences of such action?
As always, an expiation in proportion to the seriousness of the wrong, according to the circumstances.
Question 954. Is an imprudent act that compromises life without necessity reprehensible?
There is no culpability when there is no positive intention or consciousness of doing harm.
Question 955. Are the women who in some countries intentionally burn themselves to death over the body of their husband to be considered as having committed suicide, and must they suffer the consequences of it?
They obey a prejudice, and usually do it more out of coercion than of their own will. They believe they are fulfilling a duty, and this is not what characterizes suicide. Their excuse is their ignorance and their lack of moral development. Such barbarous and stupid customs will disappear with civilization.
Question 956. Do those who cannot bear the loss of loved ones and kill themselves in the hope of rejoining them accomplish their objectives?
The result for them is much different than what they hoped for. Instead of being reunited with the objects of their affection, they keep themselves away from them even longer, because God cannot reward an act of cowardice, an insult which demonstrates distrust in divine providence. They will pay for that moment of insanity with afflictions even greater than those they wish to shorten, and they will not have the compensation they had hoped for.
Refer to questions 934 and what follow. Question 957. In general, what are the consequences of suicide on the state of the spirit?
The consequences of suicide vary widely. There are no set penalties, and in all cases, they are always relative to the causes that produce them. One consequence from which those who commit suicide cannot escape, however, is disappointment. Besides, the fate is not the same for all. It depends on circumstances. Some expiate their wrong at once, whereas others do so in a new life that will be worse than the one whose course they have interrupted.
Author's remarks for question 957. Observation has in fact confirmed that the consequences of suicide are not always the same. However, there are some that are a common thread to all cases of violent death and the aftermath of the sudden interruption of life. Foremost among them is the persistence of the link that ties the spirit to the body, and which is almost always at its full strength when prematurely ruptured, unlike natural death, wherein this link weakens gradually and is often undone before life is completely extinguished. The consequences of these unfortunate events are the prolongation of spiritual confusion, followed by illusion, which, for a longer or shorter period, causes a spirit to believe it is still among the living. Refer to questions 155 and 165. In some suicides, the affinity that persists between the spirit and the body produces a sort of repercussion of the state of the body on the spirit, who is thus compelled to witness the effects of decomposition, experiencing a sensation full of anguish and horror. This state can continue as long as the life which was interrupted ought to have lasted. This consequence is not the general rule. However, in no case are those who committed suicide freed from the consequences of their lack of courage. Sooner or later, they will expiate this wrong in one way or another. Thus, certain spirits who have been very unhappy on earth have stated that they had committed suicide in their preceding existence, and that they had voluntarily submitted to new trials in order to try to bear them with more resignation. For some, it comes in the form of a bond to matter, from which they vainly seek to free themselves in order to go to happier worlds, but whose access is denied to them. For the majority, it is regret for having done something needless from which they have reaped only disappointment. Religion, morality, and philosophy condemn suicide as being contrary to the law of nature. All tell us, in principle, that we have no right to intentionally shorten our own life. But why don't we have that right? Why aren't we free to put an end to our own sufferings? It is up to the Spiritist doctrine to address these questions and to show through the actual examples of those who have succumbed to it that suicide is not only a wrong that violates moral law, a consideration of little importance to some individuals, but a reckless act that will bring no benefit. In fact, the result will be quite the contrary. It is not according to some theory that Spiritism teaches us this. Spiritism has set actual examples right in front of us.